Posloucháte testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud neslyšíte nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznamte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
Počúvate testovací nahrávku pro ověření hlasitosti. Pokud nepočujete nahrávku dostatečně nahlas, oznámte to administrátorovi zkoušky po zaznění signálu.
English exam, section 1, listening. Part 1. You will hear a text which is followed by several tasks. You will be given time to look through the relevant tasks before you listen. You will hear the recording twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 1 minute to look at tasks 1 to 6. In public, Beatrix Potter, the author of the famous The Tale of Peter Rabbit, whose books have now sold more than 250 million copies, was demure and perfectly respectable. In private, the recently found journals suggest she was forthright and opinionated, a budding artist who delighted in the detail and humour of everyday life. Born in 1866, Potter lived with her parents in a grand house in South Kensington, a rapidly growing community of London, until she was 47 years old. She felt like an outsider much of the time. She hated the noise and grime of the city and longed to be in nature. In 1901, Potter self-published the first edition of The Tale of Peter Rabbit. A series of established publishers had turned her down because of her insistence on keeping the book's price low. She was also particular about the size of the book. It had to be small, for small children's hands. The following year, Frederick Warne & Co. agreed to put out an abridged version. Peter Rabbit was an instant hit, selling out multiple editions. Her publisher asked for more books, and she began pumping them out one after another. Potter had long dreamed of owning a farm. A few months after her fiancé's death, she completed the purchase of the 34-acre hilltop farm in England's Lake District, in the far north of the country, an area that her family had visited for years. She bought it with money that she'd made from her books. The act was a turning point, a courageous assertion of personal freedom and emotional independence. The area where the house was looked like a storybook drawing of the English countryside. Whitewashed house, stone walls, and rolling green hills. Lots of sheep and lots of rain. Today, Hilltop is maintained as a house museum by the National Trust, a conservation charity. The area is popular with hikers and families visiting nearby Windermere and has become a place of pilgrimage for fans. When she died in 1943, she left more than 4,000 acres and many working farms to the National Trust, which now owns more than 20% of the Lake District. Her bequest remains the Trust's largest acquisition in the area. Potter's shepherd, Tom Story, scattered her ashes above Hilltop to where her heart belonged. In public, Beatrix Potter, the author of the famous The Tale of Peter Rabbit, whose books have now sold more than 250 million copies, was demure and perfectly respectable. In private, the recently found journals suggest she was forthright and opinionated, a budding artist who delighted in the detail and humour of everyday life. Born in 1866, Potter lived with her parents in a grand house in South Kensington, a rapidly growing community of London, until she was 47 years old. She felt like an outsider much of the time. She hated the noise and grime of the city and longed to be in nature. In 1901, Potter self-published the first edition of The Tale of Peter Rabbit. A series of established publishers had turned her down because of her insistence on keeping the book's price low. She was also particular about the size of the book. It had to be small for small children's hands. The following year, Frederick Warne & Co. agreed to put out an abridged version. Peter Rabbit was an instant hit, selling out multiple editions. Her publisher asked for more books, and she began pumping them out one after another. Potter had long dreamed of owning a farm. A few months after her fiancé's death, she completed the purchase of the 34-acre Hilltop Farm in England's Lake District, in the far north of the country, an area that her family had visited for years. She bought it with money that she'd made from her books. The act was a turning point, a courageous assertion of personal freedom and emotional independence. The area where the house was looked like a storybook drawing of the English countryside. Whitewashed house, stone walls, and rolling green hills. Lots of sheep and lots of rain. Today, Hilltop is maintained as a house museum by the National Trust, a conservation charity. The area is popular with hikers and families visiting nearby Windermere and has become a place of pilgrimage for fans. When she died in 1943, she left more than 4,000 acres and many working farms to the National Trust, which now owns more than 20% of the Lake District. Her bequest remains the Trust's largest acquisition in the area. Potter's shepherd, Tom Story, scattered her ashes above Hilltop to where her heart belonged. You now have 1 minute to solve tasks 1 to 6. Part 2. You will hear a series of short, unrelated extracts. There is one task for each extract. You'll be given time to read the relevant task before you listen. You will hear each extract twice. Solve the tasks based solely on the information in the recording. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 7. Though native to South America, pineapples made their way to the Caribbean island of Guadalupe, and it was here that Christopher Columbus first spotted their spiky crowns in 1493. Columbus and his crew took pineapples back to Spain, where everyone loved how sweet this new exotic fruit tasted. They tried to grow them there, but because pineapples need a tropical climate to grow, Europeans didn't get very far. The only pineapples they could get their hands on had to be imported from across the Atlantic Ocean, a time-consuming trek that often resulted in bruised, rotten fruit. Though native to South America, pineapples made their way to the Caribbean island of Guadalupe, and it was here that Christopher Columbus first spotted their spiky crowns in 1493. Columbus and his crew took pineapples back to Spain, where everyone loved how sweet this new exotic fruit tasted. They tried to grow them there, but because pineapples need a tropical climate to grow, Europeans didn't get very far. The only pineapples they could get their hands on had to be imported from across the Atlantic Ocean, a time-consuming trek that often resulted in bruised, rotten fruit. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 8. Every evening for a year, Mr. Simmons would go down to the end of the garden in Ashwell and call to the owls. And the owls would call back. As it happens, at exactly the same time, Fred Cumms, a retired company director, was enjoying a very similar twilight conversation with the owls at the bottom of his garden. What lifts this tale beyond the normal, however, is that Mr. Cumms is also a resident of tiny Ashwell. Indeed, his garden, in fact, abuts on to that of Mr. Simmons. And the obvious explanation of their shared experience is that instead of talking to an owl, they were unknowingly hooting at each other. Every evening for a year, Mr. Simmons would go down to the end of the garden in Ashwell and call to the owls. And the owls would call back. As it happens, at exactly the same time, Fred Cumms, a retired company director, was enjoying a very similar twilight conversation with the owls at the bottom of his garden. What lifts this tale beyond the normal, however, is that Mr. Cumms is also a resident of tiny Ashwell. Indeed, his garden, in fact, abuts on to that of Mr. Simmons, and the obvious explanation of their shared experience is that instead of talking to an owl, they were unknowingly hooting at each other. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 9.
In Africa, less than 1 in 3 people have a drainage system, half of the population live in areas without paved roads, and only 63% have access to piped water. Yet, 93% of Africans have cell phone service. These are among the findings in a recently published report which explored access to basic services and infrastructure in 35 African countries through about 50,000 face-to-face interviews. In a lot of communities all over Africa, people can talk on their cell phones, but they can't turn on a light. In Africa, less than 1 in 3 people have a drainage system, half of the population live in areas without paved roads, and only 63% have access to piped water. Yet 93% of Africans have cell phone service. These are among the findings in a recently published report which explored access to basic services and infrastructure in 35 African countries through about 50,000 face-to-face interviews. In a lot of communities all over Africa, people can talk on their cell phones, but they can't turn on a light.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 10.
Vatican City is the smallest state in the world. Its residents have two types of passports. The city-state issues ordinary passports, and the Holy See issues diplomatic passports, which allow you to get to almost anywhere in the world. Of the approximately 800 residents of Vatican City, over 450 have Vatican citizenship. But citizenship in the Vatican City is temporary. Only local workers and their family members can obtain it. Children born to Vatican citizens also receive citizenship, but they lose it as soon as they turn 18. Vatican City is the smallest state in the world. Its residents have two types of passports. The city-state issues ordinary passports, and the Holy See issues diplomatic passports, which allow you to get to almost anywhere in the world. Of the approximately 800 residents of Vatican City, over 450 have Vatican citizenship. But citizenship in the Vatican City is temporary. Only local workers and their family members can obtain it. Children born to Vatican citizens also receive citizenship, but they lose it as soon as they turn 18.
You now have 20 seconds to look at task 11. A ewe lamb, whose back legs stopped working shortly after birth, has been given a walking frame with wheels to stay mobile. The lamb, called Winnie, was treated for a suspected spinal abscess after joining a flock that keeps the grass short at All Saints and St. Margaret's Church in Suffolk. When this failed to help, a charity that normally provides wheels for dogs with mobility problems stepped in to help. Winnie is unlikely to join the rest of the flock, roaming around the church grounds, but will instead support projects that help children through bonding with animals. A ewe lamb, whose back legs stopped working shortly after birth, has been given a walking frame with wheels to stay mobile. The lamb, called Winnie, was treated for a suspected spinal abscess after joining a flock that keeps the grass short at All Saints and St. Margaret's Church in Suffolk. When this failed to help, a charity that normally provides wheels for dogs with mobility problems stepped in to help. Winnie is unlikely to join the rest of the flock, roaming around the church grounds, but will instead support projects that help children through bonding with animals. You now have 20 seconds to look at task 12. Some archaeologists are starting to think that the world's first farmers domesticated grains to make beer, not bread. While the extent of alcohol's influence on human civilization is still debated, No one doubts it has a long-standing history. The oldest evidence for booze so far comes from 9,000-year-old chemical traces of a fermented cocktail found in a drinking vessel in China. Some archaeologists are starting to think that the world's first farmers domesticated grains to make beer, not bread. While the extent of alcohol's influence on human civilization is still debated, no one doubts it has a long-standing history. The oldest evidence for booze so far comes from 9,000-year-old chemical traces of a fermented cocktail found in a drinking vessel in China. End of the listening section.